They may not know everything about sports, but the view from their couch is pretty good. So kick back and enjoy a brew, because you know they already are. Here is Eric Dorsch.
They're crazy enough to let me be in charge.
Russ Ivanek.
8 out of 10 from the judges. 5 out of 10 from the German judge.
And Justin Marcus.
Our best defense has been long, hard, and yellow all year long.
This is Armchair Sports Talk.
All right, guys, welcome into Armchair Sports Talk. As usual, I'm your host, Eric Dorsch. Been a very entertaining week in sports. I mean, you got NHL playoffs, you've got NBA playoffs, got the draft. A lot of fun stuff's happened over the last couple weeks, and we're going to try to talk about all of it. Bring in the guys. Russ Ivanek, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing all right. It's a bummer to do one of these shows not with everyone. But I guess we'll have to make do.
Yeah, no, we got so used to doing these alone or like separate, and now we're like, yes, last week we were together, everybody in the same room, different vibe, and now we're not doing that again, and it is a little weird. I keep looking around expecting one of you to be sitting here, and you're not. So we'll get by. We'll make it happen.
Just better this way.
Oh yeah, definitely. Justin Marcus, as much as I would love you to be sitting here, you're not. You're probably sitting at home with your pants off.
I'm doing that too. I'm happy to be here. Last week was a thrill ride of emotions between Avengers, Game of Thrones, the playoffs, Lions, you name it. Sunday I just looked at my wall. I was just like, I need to sleep for like a month to recuperate.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you actually led us perfectly into our first topic. We're going to spoil Avengers Endgame for everyone. We'll just give away all the secrets right now. Tell me, guys, when Thanos kisses Tony Stark, a little weird for you guys as well?
Oh, yeah. I was bummed that Groot quietly just walked into the scene. Like, get out of there.
Yeah, I know. You don't need a little tree in here. It doesn't work.
It was a metaphor for getting wood.
Ah, I see.
There it is.
I see. Yeah, I'm just glad he kept the glove on. That made it a little bit better.
Oh,
a little
God.
Less. A little less.
Jeez.
Yeah. All right. No. If you've been listening to the last minute of this show, it's all true.
Just fast forward like 45 seconds. We might be to sensible things by then.
All right. Well, speaking of sensible, it's a sad tradition or transition, but there's no way to transition. Unfortunately, got the news today that Red Wing legend Red Kelly passed away at the age of 91. 91, though, that's a heck of a life, a full life. Rush, you said in the group text earlier, it is nice that they were able to like get his jersey retirement in before he passed. 13 years with the Red Wings, 20-year NHL career. I mean, obviously, looking at it, he played in the 40s and 50s, so unfortunately, we never really got to see this guy firsthand. But, you know, when you have your jersey in the rafters in Detroit, it means you were probably pretty good at this game, Russ.
Yeah, he was something else, both as a defenseman and as a center, both Red Wings and Toronto. So mm-hmm. it was very fitting to see those bridges mended and bring him back into the fold officially, thankfully, before he was able to pass. It's a sad thing, obviously, but it's nice that the fan base at large is more aware of who he is in time for such a sad event, so he can truly be remembered.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. To me, the weird one is, and it might just be because we're, you know, in our age, these were not teams that got along ever, and that's to go from Detroit to Toronto. I mean, maybe not as big a deal back then, but those just don't seem like a transition you make if you're a true Red Wing. I mean, not that he isn't a true Red Wing in any way, but that just, to me, feels like, you know, leaving here to go to Chicago.
Yeah, well, he did get traded, so he didn't have too much of a say in the matter.
Yeah, but then he stayed there for another 8 years, so
yeah,
I get you.
There also wasn't many places he could go.
That's very true.
Considering how small the league was.
That's very true, very true. But definitely a sad time. I don't know which one of, I think it might have been you, Russ. Did someone actually have him on their top Red Wings when we did our list a while back?
I did.
You did. Okay.
Yep, that was Russ.
Justin, why didn't you have him on the list?
Jerk.
Hey, I have a different style of hockey that emanates within my soul, and that's the rough and tough Marchands of the world. So that's why.
You know why it was? Because he didn't have enough penalty minutes for Justin. He only had 327 penalty minutes all time in a 20-year NHL career. That's not enough.
No, it's not.
But you're saying, you know, 281 goals, 542 assists, 823 points. That's not good by your standard either, Jay?
Oh, come on now. That's more than good. I haven't seen a second of Red Kelly play, which is probably shame on me for being a Red Wings fan. But
yeah.
I think Russ nailed it. The fact that we did get to appreciate a person while he was living, you know, it speaks volumes for some little kid somewhere watching it saying, hey, what is that? Oh, what are those up in the ceiling and the rafters? Like, it's just, it's a good look, and it's an unfortunate sad day for sure.
Oh, I mean, that's absolutely how it is, though. You got to believe that with today's technology, my kids are never going to hear me say a word about these players. I'm going to, when they ask me who's number five or who's number 19, well, here's what you do. When we go home tonight, I'm going to put you in front of a computer and let you watch, because I can't explain how great these guys were, because they were the best to ever do it. So,
yep.
I mean, you could tell stories all you want, but watching these guys firsthand, it doesn't live up to it. And, you know, my kids will probably be, you know, players will be in their 50s or 60s before these guys really can be appreciated. So it's tough. It's awesome. It's a great time. But you said you never got to see him play, Jay. Let's talk about someone we did get to see play, because we've spent the last year willing this into existence, and it finally happened. Stevie Y is back with the Wing Wheel. He is back in Detroit, taking over. Goodbye, Ken Holland. Ken Holland's still here.
Yeah.
Crap.
See you. It's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. I'm a different captain behind the ship.
Yeah. Jay, I'm going to let you take this one. You above all of us, has been willing this a little more, as evidenced by the fact that your Twitter picture is legitimately Steve Yzerman. So
yeah.
I think I'm going to let you take this one. Stevie Y back in Detroit. What does this mean for Red Wings fans?
I will not forget that Friday ever. Ever, 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 ever. I was home with my kids. I had to go to a pediatrician appointment. I was locked in. My whole day was gone because that news broke. My phone died twice. I was on Twitter. I streamed it at the pediatrician's appointment. It was amazing. It honestly was one of the better fandom days of being a Red Wings fan since Zetterberg wore the Conn Smythe as a hat through downtown Detroit. I honestly, June 27th is the next big day, because that's when free agency opens up and that's when Yzerman gets to take over. And I don't think it's fair for people in Detroit to be like, oh, he was the captain of this team, it's automatic success. I would more so hope people would look at what he did in Tampa as a GM opposed to what he did wearing skates. And some of the things he did in Tampa, he drafted Kucherov. He traded picks, which resulted in Bishop and Vasilevskiy in between the pipes for them. He kind of moved his way through Drouin and shipped him off to Montreal for exchange for Zergachev. And then just recently got JT Miller and Ryan McDonough at the trade deadline, I believe, last season. So he's done smart picks, and I have more blind faith in him than ever. The fact that if his first acquisition is something wild and no one understands it, I'll just go, okay, I trust you. And I trust the people that hopefully he brings around him. It's just, you know, it's going to take some time, as he's been, you know, providing to the media, and he can take all the time he wants, because it is an awesome day to be a Wings fan.
Definitely. It kind of leads me into my next question for you, Russ. We're going to do buy or sell here in a minute, so obviously don't go as deep as you can. I didn't want to just say that like that. Don't give me
oh,
a,
we'll go
yeah,
deep.
Yeah. Give me a quick answer here. But Jay mentioned it. Free agency is the next big day. It's when Yzerman can kind of fully take control within the first few days of free agency. What is, as a Red Wings fan and as someone speaking to Red Wings fans, what is a realistic expectation to see Steve Yzerman? We obviously know he's not going to go out and all of a sudden, oh, look, you know, Patrick Kane and Sidney Crosby and all these guys are on our team now. He's going to do something, you know, probably very sensible, correct?
Oh, absolutely. I think a reasonable explanation, if I'm just going to, you know, just the tip here, a reasonable explanation expectation is radio silence.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, almost no one's coming off the board, right? I don't expect him to bring back old guys like Vanek, right? Witkowski's probably gone as well. And everyone that's coming back is pretty much signed already for the next year. I mean, maybe there's some extensions that are in the case, but with how much he's been preaching, this is going to take time, I really don't see him wading all that deep into the free agent waters.
Okay. So no Duchesne, Bobrovsky, none of those guys.
No, I'd be thoroughly shocked.
Okay. That's fair. But that needs to be said.
I agree
because,
with him too, Eric.
No, I know. I agree as well. But I'm just saying, but that also needs to be said. Because like you said, Jay, I think, it's the captain. It's immediate success. So I think a lot of people think that the day free agency hits, you're going to open up your phone in the morning and see Steve Yzerman just signed four guys that are superstars. And that's not realistically going to happen.
No, his first big obstacle is planning next year around the following year, because then he has to pay Bertuzzi, Mantha, and Anthony Seau all at the same time. And that's our core right now. And even with the draft picks that we're getting and when we implement them, he's got to be the GM. He's got to put all those pieces together so we can pay those young studs to, you know, to be our trio or whatever for the team. So I don't expect him to do anything too fancy out the gate.
No, and kind of to back that up, he did have his first signing this week. Signed Valeno to a 3-year entry contract. And that's exactly what is a sign of things to come.
No, that's fair. What I want to know is, where's the Justin that a year ago would never have mentioned Anthony Mantha in our core?
Oh, no, trust me, he's a couple strides ahead of Justin Ablicator right now. Don't you worry. I'm just talking contractually. We have to give him a paycheck.
No, I get you.
But see,
that right there, Jay, should be the ultimate proof that I am listening when you talk, because I caught that one and held on to it. All right. Let's get right into it. This is buy or sell. Nice little fun way of seeing how we really feel about this. Got a couple for you. Jay will let you lead off first. You know the rules. Just you buying it, you selling it. What are you doing with it here? Let's get this one out of the way right now, because I don't want to talk about it again, but we have to at least talk about it once. Jay, buy or sell. Steve Yzerman brings back Pavel Datsyuk to play for the Red Wings.
Hard sell. If anything, he can come back and play in between the intermissions when they do their little bubble hockey on ice. That's about it.
Okay. I think everybody's going to agree on this one, but Russ, buy or sell, number 13, back in a wing wheel uniform playing.
It would sell tickets, but I'm going to also sell this idea. No part of this rebuild is going to take time means let's bring back a soon-to-be 41-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Please sell.
Okay, that's fine. I'm also selling on that one. That one to me, like you said, it would sell tickets. Our generation would go to a couple games just because he's someone we know. He's one of the best players of the last 20 years. I mean, he's a phenomenal hockey player, but he's 40. He's not, he's not going to be able to do what he did. I think was it against San Jose when he made the guy fall over.
Oh. Yes, that was one of the times.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But that's the one I remember. It's not happening. Like, he probably can still do that kind of stuff, but it's almost like Tiger Woods coming back. Everyone that's in the NHL right now grew up on the legend of Datsyuk. They know him. They're going to be like, ooh, it's Pavel Datsyuk. And then they're going to realize, wait, I can play with this guy. So it's fun. It's cool to see, but I just don't think it's beneficial to us moving forward. But in keeping with that, bringing back players that don't really, holding on to the tradition. Russ, buy or sell that when Yzerman does start full bore making his moves in front office, that at least 2 to 3 former wing players are in his so-called cabinet?
Oh, I buy that, because there might be that many already there.
Okay.
I'd really be shocked if they shake up the front office too much. A lot of these guys, and Stevie talked about it in his press conference, a lot of these guys are guys he worked with the last time he was here in the front office. So there's already a lot of familiarity, and I don't see too much of that changing. Plus, I don't think he wants to carve up the Tampa front office that he helped build, because, he kind of left his protege there and probably doesn't want to absolutely gut the place that he helped build up.
Okay, that's fair. Jay, buy or sell that some former teammates are going to come and join Stevie in the front office?
I have to go sell, just because what Russ is alluding to, what they have in place is what they're going to keep. We're a very, very stubborn organization. And I think, we have, Yuri Fisher is still a scout for us. And we, Shanahan went in one way. I feel like the limited amount of people could he bring Fedorov in some capacity? I think he was coaching a team over in the KHL for a while or something like that, maybe. But to the volumes that you're speaking on, maybe one. I'd be hard to do two. But I think everyone's jobs are pretty safe.
Yeah, well, I mean, you do the math. Draper stays. If Draper, you got, like you said, bring Fedorov into the fold, there's two. I mean, I got to wonder, I he might not want anything to do with the Red Wings anymore. I mean, you never know, but I got to wonder, Nick Lindstrom has two sons that are playing in Sweden, correct? So wouldn't he be someone that you might want to get a hold of to, like, I don't know, maybe be a scout over there? They tend to make some good hockey players in that area.
I think he was doing that for a time and might have stepped away.
Okay. Because, I mean, yeah, Shanahan's not coming back. He's got a pretty nice job. Chelly's in Chicago. So those two are not. But, I mean, I could definitely see two. Three might be pushing it, depending on in what capacity. I don't think that, you know, when we see a final put-together cabinet for him, I don't think it's going to look like the 97 roster. I really don't. But I could definitely see one or two guys. So we'll see. I've always preached, and again, he doesn't have any experience to this. I've always preached that I don't know why you don't just give Draper. I don't like Draper in the front office. I wouldn't mind him as a coach. He seems to be hands-on with players. Give him a chance at coaching. He can't really do that much worse than Blashill can. So we'll see.
I'd rather have Draper on the broadcast than get rid of Osgood, to be honest. That's a whole nother one.
All right, this is one that I know we'll put a little debate in here, so I'm excited for it. Ross, I'll let you go first on this one. Buy or sell, by week one of the NHL season, Dylan Larkin will have a C on his chest.
Oh, bye. Okay. Yeah, I thought that was going to be Yzerman's first order of business.
Yeah.
Apparently he was re-signing Veleno, also an acceptable answer.
I'm okay with
it,
yep.
It seems way too storybook and way too fitting to have the captain come back and put a C on somebody's sweater after our first year without a captain.
All right. I like it. Jay?
So, I want Yzerman to make a point out of it. It's just a stupid letter stitched into a sweater. I want him to make a point of it and do a little bit of a power move. Go another season with that one. Under his reign, under his moves, under his guidance, make someone earn it. Now, I'm not saying that Larkin hasn't earned it, but if our goal is to win the cup, we need to do more. So I wouldn't give anyone the C again. I'd let Yzerman hold on to it like it's like a Willy Wonka golden ticket.
Okay. Look at me. I'm the captain now.
Yeah, let me just make a little point here. I just want to see if I'm getting this right. Justin, your analysis is the man that we call the captain should not name a captain.
Yeah. One more year.
All right. Are you drinking?
No, I'm actually not, you okay. Jerk.
Just checking.
Maybe you should.
Yeah, maybe you should. Are you drinking? Because you need to. I'm with Russ on this. It's a buy. Now, Larkin was just a name. It's the clear, it's what everybody would assume is the next step. Whether it's Larkin or not remains to be seen. I don't know too many guys on that team that are more deserving of it than him. I know Jay would love to see Glendening, but I personally don't think that Glendening should even be on the Red Wings to begin with, but just because Justin likes him.
You, sir, take that
hot take city.
No, but I would buy on the fact that week one at LCA, Larkin has a C on his chest. I can't see Yzerman coming back and not looking at the blueprint of what the Wings have been for the last couple of years and not just lighting it on fire and saying, we're going to do this very differently because the way we've been doing it hasn't worked and we need to find a way that does work. And first step to that needs to be there's someone in the locker room that when they talk, everybody else be quiet. That's the reason you hear the stories of if you watch the old videos, people always say, Stevie didn't talk very much, but when he did talk, no one else did. Everybody shut up and listened to what he had to say. He was a lead by example kind of guy. He went out there and said, this is how we're supposed to do it. Everybody do it this way. And it worked out pretty well for him. So I think Stevie's going to go in that locker room, give someone a C and say, you're the guy that has to show everybody else how we need to do it. And Larkin just seems to be the guy for right now. Whether Larkin is the next, 20-year captain of the Red Wings, I don't know. But I think he's got to be the next leader. He's the next big name on the team. We'll see what happens with it. This one's a little interesting for me. I'm going to go first on it. The question is going to be, buy or sell, Stevie has this team in the playoffs by not this coming season, but next season. And my answer for that one's going to actually be buy. I think whether it's a competitive team, like going on a massive run or not, I think that he can get us back to the playoffs within a year or two. This is a team that has a lot of potential. It's just not being used right. And I think that there's no way that Blashill makes it out of next season. I just don't think he's the coach for the Red Wings. I think Yzerman sees this as, I've got a lot of work to do. Maybe throwing a brand new head coach in right away isn't the first step that needs to be done, but that remains to be seen. But I personally think Yzerman has this team in the playoffs by the following season. Russ?
So that'd be the 2020-2021
season.
Okay. I'm going to sell. My earmark for this is the 2021-2022 season.
Okay.
Because this year, there's only so much he can really do to this roster, and hopefully the best thing that happens is some young guys come up and they start to get seasoned, and another year comes off some contracts. The year after that, they can start competing, but we've seen it. Yes, it's possible to all of a sudden go from a lottery team to a playoff team. It usually has to do with really, really hot goaltending, and Jimmy will be getting a little bit older, but we do have a couple young goalies coming up that could start to fill in, and that's where I start to see that 21-22, they can take over. The guys are a little bit younger. There is exactly one defenseman on the roster right now who is under contract that season. So that whole blue line will be cleared out by then and given a little bit of time to settle and actually grow into their roles. So I'm going to say 2 years, and that's when they'll be back in. So sell.
Okay. Jay?
I am going to buy.
All right. I
almost want to dare say they'll make it next season.
I thought about putting in they make the playoffs next season, but you know what? That to me is a crapshoot because they could have a hot streak again that just ends up them falling into the playoffs. I more mean they make the playoffs and it isn't like a last game of the season like the Pistons did where they got to win. They make the playoffs in a reasonable fashion of it. The last couple weeks aren't as much of a scramble.
I would truly like to see what this team looks like when you shed the Witowskis, the Nielsens, you know, just getting rid of some pieces that I think are dead weight, getting our normal guys like Rasmussen full time, getting Valeno up there. I mean, I want to see what we have because what I was shown last is that Bertuzzi can have four games in a row with 3 points, whatever the stupid stat was. If that was what was being sold to me at the end of the year, opposed to tanking to have better like draft stock, then I'm going to go with it. So I'll be bold. Yeah, sure, why not? I'll say they make the playoffs next year based on what I was given. Opposed to what I could have gotten in the draft, I have to go with it. So I'll buy that they make it.
Okay. I've got a few more. This one, I just want a quick buy or sell because this one's just such a crapshoot speculation that there's no way to really prove it. And to be honest, the show might not even still be going when the outcome comes. So real quick, buy or sell, Jay. 5 years from now, the Red Wings are competing and potentially playing in a Stanley Cup.
Bye.
Bye. Russ.
Bye. If I didn't believe it, I wouldn't be believing in Yzerman. So bye.
Bye. I'll buy as well on that one. Okay. That one was quick, but with Russ selling on the 2-year plan made me a little concerned that maybe he's not buying into a 5-year plan, but hey, that's fine. Stranger things have happened than a team turning it around in 3 years. So I'm with you. This next one is for me a little more of breaking the habit of what we've seen for so long. Jay, buy or sell, Valeno and Zadina play 30-plus games in the NHL next year.
Ooh. let me ask Russ a question first. Russ, the 3-year contract that Valeno just signed, is that a 2-way eligible, or does he have to stay 1-way?
So it's an entry level, so it works like any entry level. It's technically 2-way. But if he plays, if it's the exact same thing Zadina was just on. If he plays less than 9 games, it slides a year.
Okay. I'll buy. I honestly think that Yzerman will have the stones to get rid of the fat and let the young, spry guys play and figure it out, because that's been my approach to it. I wish they would have taken. I think they'll take that approach. They'll choose the young guys over the old guys, so I'll buy it.
Okay. Russ?
So is it they both play 30 games? They combine play 30 games?
No. Like, each of them is on the ice for the Detroit Red Wings for 30 games.
Oh, sell. I don't think Valeno gets it. I think he spends most of the year with Grand Rapids.
Okay. That's fair. I'm going to buy on that one. Zadina, for sure. I don't think any of us will debate that he doesn't at least play that many. Valeno, I think it's all going to depend on what this team looks like going into the first week of next year. I mean, who's there? Who isn't there? With the pick in the draft, where are we going? What are we doing, kind of thing? So I personally think, honestly, Yzerman wants to see what everybody's got, and Valeno and Zadina were two big picks for us last year. Let's give them a shot. I mean, if this team is not in playoff contention by the end of December, why not? Throw him on the ice. Let's see what he can do. Worst case scenario, we find out, hey, this guy doesn't have what we thought he had, and then we can move on from there. So we'll see. Last one. This one's just for fun. Russ, buy or sell, Ken Holland takes a front office job with the Seattle team.
Oh, if you would have asked me this prior to the Yzerman presser, I would have bought it. I'm selling it now. I think he is riding off into the pasture. Kenny's looking old.
Yeah,
older than I can remember him being at Indy. I think this is him just trying to ride it out, still be involved, still contribute to this team that he's contributed a lot to, and be at the end of it. I don't think he's got another franchise builder in him.
Okay. Jay?
No, if he was going to make a move, it would have been very apparent that he was back in that pool of talent. He'll as stubborn as he was managing the team, he'll be stubborn staying with the team. He'll probably be riding an elliptical inside a sauna somewhere, waiting for the team to use the actual sauna room. So he'll stay.
Can he sign himself to just one-year deal after one-year deal after one-year deal? Can probably. We get a Kenny Holland hockey school hat?
Oh, yes,
oh
please.
God.
Let's look into that.
I almost bought – I found a place of carrying the Danny Cleary hockey school hats. I almost bought one today.
Attaboy. I personally am going to buy on this one. I think this, to me, him staying on in this new capacity, to me just felt like, we're going to give you your 1 year to just kind of, leave on your own terms. We're not going to fire you. We're not going to tell you to get lost. You get to sit back, put your feet up for a year, watch how Stevie does it, be here just on the off chance he needs any kind of assistance. But I could see it. Now, is he going to be the guy that's in Seattle when Seattle's a competitive team? No, but I could see him being the guy that at least gets it started. He literally gets to start on the ground floor and build up from there. Everything he does, anytime this team gets talked about down the road, it'll always be his choices were what kicked it off, for better or for worse. So I could see him doing it. I really could. Now, again, this is all speculation. It's a total crapshoot. He could literally decide to give up on hockey entirely after this year, but I just don't see that. I don't think he wants his lasting legacy to be a guy who built a team up to the mountaintop and then took them just crashing down so badly that they had to bring in someone else to fix all his mistakes. I just don't see Kenny being that kind of guy.
You made a good point, though, because supporting Yzerman is probably going to be something that's key to show him, where the coffee machine's at, where the bathrooms are at in the building. We need a tour guide for Stevie, and I think Ken's the right man for the job.
I like it. All right. Moving on, I think we all are together in saying we're very happy Stevie's back. We're excited to see what he can do with this team. I mean, I don't know if you've listened to the show enough, you can kind of pick up on the fact that we're all pretty big Red Wings fans. We really want to see this team succeed. We all remember, though it was a while ago, we all remember what it's like to watch that team hoist a cup, and we want nothing more than to see that again. Except Jay always wants to see early first-round picks crash and burn. just like that. And that's fine. You're a Spartan. You're entitled to that. So.
Oh, cheap shot.
Oh, God. I'm swinging today, man. It's just, and I'm going to keep swinging. Let's talk about Boston and Columbus, Jay. I know how much you want to
talk about.
Yeah, let's talk about. I'm with you.
Cheap shot.
Yeah, let's talk about it. Boston Columbus play tonight. It's game four. Columbus is up 2-1. Let me repeat that. Columbus, a team that I don't think anybody had going after the first round, is up 2-1. Correct me if I'm wrong, Jay. I have a button here that can make it so you aren't going over the speaker. Correct me if I'm wrong. This is a team you had going to hoist a cup.
They are the team that will hoist the cup.
Ooh. All right. Well, I've said enough.
I'm coming off the ship, buddy.
No, go ahead. That's fine. I want you to go down swinging. I'm always happy to see it. Talk to me, Jay. How much faith do you really have in your Bruins right now when they're down 2-1 to Columbus and Columbus is looking good?
So in this series, Boston has had 10 power play chances.
Yep.
And from Bergeron, Pasta, and Marchand, 0 points.
Sounds
conversely,
right.
Columbus, 3-for-7 on the power play in the last two games. 5 out of 6 of their game-winning goals have also come on the power play. So Columbus is living and dying on the power play, which means Boston needs to get their heads out of their asses and stop punching people in the back of the head, which should have been a penalty, not a suspension, which I'm happy he didn't get suspended.
Mm-hmm.
But they gotta ride the line of being the tough guy and not being the asshole. And what they've been doing lately has been the asshole. They're getting themselves shorthanded, and they're losing hockey games. So they, as a whole, they need to clean it up just a little bit, and they'll be able to make the little bumblebee Blue Jackets go away so they can go on to the next round in the playoffs.
So you're predicting a turnaround?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay. Can I just say this real quick? I have no problem with the Boston Bruins except for one guy, literally one guy. And, this is to a topic that we may get to later. We always have a little topic that we're going to do if we have time, depending. And that's, for this one, it's going to be players or teams that your opinion of will never change. And for me, that's Brad Marchand. The guy could put on a Red Wing jersey. I'd still hate him. Because I just think he's a horrible person. He's just a terrible guy on that ice. What he's like off the ice, I don't know. He could be the nicest guy on the planet. I suspect it probably isn't that case. But when he puts on skates, when he puts on a jersey, he's just a terrible person. He's a dirty hockey player. And it's just, that's not my cup of tea. So if Marchand wasn't on this team, I would probably be with you, Jay. I'd probably be going, yeah, I think Boston could turn it around. But I just don't want to see it. I like seeing Marchand have to go through that, you know, handshake line at the end of the playoffs. And he being on the wrong end of it, it's very enjoyable because he's a dirty guy. Is he talented? Yeah, he's a talented hockey player. But you have talent. You shouldn't have to play dirty, cheap hockey to be successful. I know you're trying to get under guys' skins, but that doesn't do anything for me. Get under their skin by scoring a goal and taunting them. Or that video you sent, or one of you guys sent today about the guy patting the goalie on the head. Do that kind of stuff. That's fine. I like that. Do the Brian Todd. Don't sit there and punch guys in the back of the head or all that. That to me just shows that you don't think you have the athletic advantage.
Okay, but hang on a second. I'm getting so frustrated with people over he punched a dude in the back of the head. Is it a penalty? Yes. Did he murder somebody? No. If we were able to see every dirty little cheap shit that happened, it would be outlandish. And I get it. He was center stage in that moment and he punched the dude in the back of the head. No one came after him. He's got a track record. But, that shit happens all the time. And that's nowhere would it ever be suspendable unless he, walloped him in the back of the dome and his eyes fell out. But two-minute penalty, roughing. This whole game is based on roughing.
I'm sorry.
I had no problem with it. But I want to circle back on one thing, and I want to hear Russ's opinion on it, too. You honestly are telling me that if Marchand is wearing the winged wheel, you would not like it.
No, I wouldn't. I can 100% be on this. I don't care if you told me that he's going to come on the show, talk to us. My address would be the fact that why do you feel the need to play that way? I am not a fan of it. He's just he doesn't. To me, that's more of a problem than it is, a help to the team. All eyes are on you. You're doing this stupid stuff and we're getting criticized for it left and right. I personally think I would not be a fan of Marchand if he came to Detroit. I'm not a big fan. And the whole punching in the back of the head thing, that's just one, Jay. It's not like that's the first thing he's ever done. Okay? Like, he's notorious for that. And correct me if I'm wrong. I get the punch. I didn't ever see the punch. I've just heard from what you guys have said. But punching someone in the back of the head is not a good thing to do. We have seen guys get seriously messed up from getting punched in the back of the head, i.e. Bertuzzi. You can't hit a dude in the back of the head. That's like the most.
Yeah, but he gave me a little tickle flick.
No, but that's the most defenseless you can be, punching someone in the back of the head. That says, hey, listen, I'm going to do this because if you look at me, I'd probably die. So, no, I'm not a fan. I will never be a fan of Marchand. Do I respect the talent? Yeah, the guy's playing in the NHL. He's clearly good at hockey. But all that's telling me is that you are not talented enough or you don't think you're talented enough to compete with someone straight up. Russ?
Well, I'll say right now, and some say it might be because I'm a sellout, I think is the word. But if he wants to come on this show, yeah, that could change my opinion.
Okay, that's fair.
But no, if he comes to Detroit, am I going to like him? No. If I can get someone of comparable skill that doesn't do all the extracurricular bullshit that he does, yeah, I'm going to rather that. But it's not going to stop me from cheering for the Wings and hoping he has another 80-point season on him.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, I don't have to like him to root for his line to do well.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Real quick, Russ, Boston, Columbus, do you see a turnaround, or is Columbus going to be able to ride this one out and finish it?
Oh, for those about to rock, we do salute you.
Oh, God.
Columbus. Give me Columbus.
Yeah, I'm with you. Columbus. Columbus is getting through this. We'll transition over to the next one, the game tonight. Russ, I'll let you go first here. You can give me your input. We've got the San Jose Sharks, the Teal Sharks, taking on Colorado.
Hashtag Teal is real.
Hashtag Teal is real. San Jose's up 2-1 in this series. Who you taking?
Oh, I still have San Jose here. I got destroyed by Colorado in the first round. I thought that would go so different, but that's because Nathan MacKinnon just decided he's otherworldly.
Yeah.
He has just played out of his skull, and Grubauer has been unbelievable for the last month and a half now.
Mm-hmm.
The guy's also playing out of his mind. So, hey, transcendent forward, hot goalie that can steal a series. That's dangerous on its own. And we talked about before Colorado, they have depth scoring issues, but when Nathan MacKinnon is doing what Nathan MacKinnon is doing, he's your primary and your secondary and your tertiary scoring.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a little bit crazy. But Carlson's finally healthy. Martin Jones has not been Martin Jonesing very much. He actually stole, I think it was game 6 of the last series. So all Martin Jones has to do is be okay.
Yeah.
And San Jose should be the favorite coming out of the West.
When you got players like that skating in front of you, all you do have to do is be okay.
God, yeah. Oh, right. When Joe Thornton sitting on your third line because there's no room ahead for him in the top 6.
Yeah.
You're doing okay. And they've switched to this idea of trying to play Burns, Carlson, and Vlasic basically the entire game,
mm-hmm.
having one of them on the ice. It's formidable, and it's the kind of depth that over the course of a 7-game series, it gets hard to run with. And as talented as Nathan MacKinnon is, I don't know how much further he can completely drag this team against a San Jose team with so much depth that can run with him. You can't line match up. To get MacKinnon a good matchup, it's just a hard one or a harder one. So I think in a war of attrition, San Jose will take it.
Okay. Jay, I'm going to ask you the question, but it's kind of a double question because how you answer is going to tell me how you think this series is going to go. Mm-hmm. Jay, is Teal real?
Get the fuck out of here. There's a reason why Dad Duke made that dude look like he was you never put on skates before. Teal is not real, okay?
Teal's not real. Okay, but, so you're going with the abs.
No, not because of that, but
because of the hue of his jersey.
Listen, well, that's a debate for the summer. But listen, San Jose is going to – Russ has it nailed perfectly. San Jose will win this series, and it upsets me. But the thing is that when you have Thornton, Burns, and Couture that could turn it on at any point in time, which they have in this series individually on different nights, Even though the one that Bob Burns did, they didn't win that game. They have depth, and all Colorado has is McKinnon and the corpse of Rantanen that was stellar in the regular season. Colorado doesn't have those other dudes that can take their turn in the spotlight and let McKinnon, I don't know, take a shift off or something. So instead of overlapping everything that Russ just said, Russ has it perfect, and San Jose will take it because they have depth where Colorado does not.
All right. That's fine. I'm not going to try to add anything to this one because I would just make it sound worse. You guys are both right. I'm with San Jose. Teal is real. I'm making sure it's up just for Jay. Jay,
no, it's still fake. But
when the Sharks, you know, keep going and potentially win a cup, I'm going to force you to wear that shirt, take a picture, and it's going to be the logo for the podcast for the entire summer. God. That's going to be your punishment. Teal is real, just for you.
They will not. You can make any bet you want. They're not winning the cup this year.
Okay. You want to make that bet? You want to make
that
bet?
I'm baiting you real hard on this one.
You want to make that? I'll make that bet with you. I will bet you. Let me look real quick. Yeah. I'll make that bet with you. San Jose wins the Stanley Cup. If they do, I make up a shirt that says Teal is real. You have to wear it for a live show. You have to wear it for an entire live show. You're going to be in the center of the picture. Everyone will be able to see it.
Okay, so then what's coming back my way if Boston wins?
What do I have to agree to? That's what I want to know. What do I have to agree to?
I will as well stick to the theme of shirts, but you are going to get the Brad Marchand special on yours.
Oh.
I'll take it.
Oh, you will take it, and you will lick it, and you will like it.
Oh.
All right. A gentleman's agreement has been reached. If San Jose wins the Stanley Cup, Jay has to wear a Teal is Real shirt. If Boston wins the cup, I've got to wear some Brad Marchand shirt you're going to create. Within reason. You can't Photoshop Brad Marchand skull fucking me or something. That's against
the rules. Well, that's exactly what I'm going to do now. I'll give it to my creative department, and they'll figure it out, and I'll just give them the shipping address.
Okay. Well, here we go. Russ, who are you giving the odds to?
Oh, my God. Whichever one doesn't end up with that image on a shirt.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. All right. All right. A deal has been struck. Let's see what happens. And if neither team wins it, Jay and I will just get drunk on a golf course. That sounds like a good third option.
But that's going to happen anyway.
Well, it's going to happen anyway, but why not make it even, you know, that much more fun? Okay, so do we need to talk about any more playoff hockey? I don't think we really. Let's move on. Islanders, Carolina. Jay, I'll let you take this one. Carolina's up 3-0. Do we see a closeout tomorrow for the Islanders?
The Hurricanes have made a deal with the Lord of the Light. And they are just doing unworldly things to them. The Isles are getting outscored 9-3 over the past three games. Last I checked, you don't score, you're not going to win. So I will go simple answer, yes, the Canes are actually going to sweep the Islanders in game four. Even though Mrazek's going to be out for it, Curtis McElhaney?
Right? McElhaney.
Thank you. That's why you're here, to help me in that situation.
Yep, that's the only reason.
Just for phonetic spelling, verbal and otherwise. Mrazek's out for game four, but they'll still win.
All right. Jay, thank you, by the way, for teaching everyone how hockey works. If you don't score, you don't win. Very simple, very straightforward. Something tells me you've used that train of thinking for other things in your life. If you don't score, you don't win. But, okay.
Oh.
Yeah. See, Russ got that one. That one fit perfectly right there. Russ, are you going to go against the consensus? Is Carolina not going to pull the sweep off?
Oh, I think they do. And watching game three there, Leonard tries to play a puck. Aho knocks it out of midair, puts it down, throws it in front to Williams, who flubs his shot, but it goes off the post and in. That's what's been happening in this series. Carolina made their living off of killing shot share, but having a horrible save percentage. All of a sudden, both of those things are really good, and they're getting every single bounce. They're the team of destiny right now, and the bunch of jerks are going to finish it out in game four.
Okay. You heard it here. Carolina, going to sweep it. It's over. Islanders going to go home. We'll see what happens. This last series, Dallas-St. Louis, I don't want to talk about the series. I want to talk about the flop. Let's talk about the flop.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, see, everybody knows what I'm talking about. Russ, I'll let you intro it, discuss it. We can talk about the series if you want. That's fine. But I want to talk about the flop. Flopping is something that I only remember in basketball. Apparently now hockey's trying to adopt it.
Well, let's not leave out soccer either.
That's true. Soccer did create the flop, but no one plays that game over here. So,
yeah. I'm curious. Do you want to talk about the first flop, the second flop, or the third one, maybe?
Let's talk about all three. Let's just talk about whichever. Okay. You know what? You pick the flop you liked most.
Okay. Well, the second one was the most egregious one to me. Just to kind of paint the picture here for anyone who might not have seen this Oscar-worthy display that Lindell threw out there. Sitting in the corner there with looking at a puck battle, not even in there for it. Portuzzo kind of gives him a little shove, and he just flops. And, all right, I get the first one. Hey, you're just trying to get a call. I understand it. I don't like it, but I understand it.
Yeah.
But he gets up, looks over his shoulder, and as if was on the dance floor looking for a partner to grind, backs himself up until he gets it to up to him, throws his back into him a little, waits for the cross check, and then flops again. What are we doing, guy? I mean, there was another one that, hey, when they were actually looking face-to-face, he got another chop and flopped yet again. But at this point, like, hey, a duck's a duck, right? Like, how many times do they have to quack before you know what it is? It was just something else. It's shameful. He deserved the flopping penalty. But holy cow, like, I don't know what you're thinking there that you think you're going to get anything but a penalty on yourself. I don't get it.
Can I give you the solution to this whole problem? Because it is bullshit.
Go for it.
The solution, all that needs to happen, Lindell needs to sit in the room with Jamie Benn, just two chairs, just two gentlemen talking, and Jamie Benn will explain to him how to not go down in that situation and avoid it from happening in the first place. And then we're all back to status quo again.
What are you talking about?
Jamie Benn doesn't perform sexual favors. That's what
he does not go down.
That's terrible.
Oh, that's great. All right, well,
I'm so proud of you.
Yeah, I do what I can. Here we go. 2-2 series. Justin, let you go first here. Two-parter. Who's winning it? Are we going to see a Game 7? All these other series don't look like a Game 7 might happen, but this one, the way it's going, kind of seems like Game 7 is inevitable.
Game 7.
Okay.
Patty Maroon is going to take the cat's paw dagger right to the Dallas Stars' abdomen and end it, the postseason for the Dallas Stars. So I'm going Blues in 7.
Blues in 7. Russ, Game 7, who's taking it?
Yeah, I think it's Blues in 7, too. My biggest knock on Dallas was they weren't getting depth scoring, and now they absolutely are, but something isn't right with Ben Bishop. Game 3, he was getting just taken advantage of on his blocker side, and the first goal in Game 4, he was cheating over to protect blocker and let it up soft glove side. Something's not right there, and that's going to be what ends up as their downfall. Still a good team, so it'll go 7, but give me the Blues.
Okay. I'm going to play this for me ahead of time. I've never played it for anyone else, just Jay. I'm going to play it for me.
Why are you the way that you are?
Just because Justin picked St. Louis, I'm going to pick Dallas. I feel like going against him today. I just feel like all the chances I can to go against Jay are beneficial. So I'm going to go with Dallas. In my heart of hearts, I think this is a Game 7 St. Louis, but I just want to see. I want to be that guy that stirs the pot. I will go Game 7 for sure. This looks like a Game 7 series all the way. But I will take Dallas. I'll be the only one supporting them. That just seems like something they need right now. So,
okay.
Game 7, Dallas. Remember, Jay, teal is real, and you're a medium or a small. I just need to make sure I get the shirt size correctly fitted for you. I want it to look good because teal's going to look good on you.
That's one expense that will not be hitting your books, man. Don't you worry.
Teal's going to look good on you. I think it's really going to make your chrome dome real pop. It's going to pop. It's going to look good. It's going to look good.
Get him that medium.
That medium. Oh, gosh. It's going to look good. It's going to look good. All right. We're going to stick with playoffs. Let's move over to the NBA. Lots of good stuff to talk about there. Tonight, you got Toronto playing Philly. I believe the consensus was Philly out of that one. Series is tied 1-1. Toronto doesn't seem to want to go away. Russ, are we still sticking with Philly? Do we think Toronto's got the firepower to get through it?
Yeah, I'm still sticking with Philly. I mean, as we see year after year in the NBA playoffs, it's do you have the demonstrably better player, you know, the one top-end player? If not, it goes to depth, and that's where I think Philly really takes over. Because, yeah, you can argue that Kawhi might be the best out of the players in this series, but I don't think he's significantly better than whoever you want to pick as the best player on Philly. So I don't think they can run with it. And he even lost when Kawhi put up 35, so that kind of proves my point. It'll be a long one. It'll be a tough one, but I'm going to still take Philly.
Yeah, I think the argument has to be made. It's either Kawhi Leonard or Joel Embiid, and
yeah,
that's probably as close as it's going to get. But I agree with you, and that's actually what I had in my notes, that if you're going to take – if you're going to make the best player argument, you can make it for either team. But the problem is after you make that argument, it's such a big difference between the talent on Philly and the talent on Toronto. Philly's just got depth. They've got more players that they can – if Joel Embiid's having an off night, you can go to step up. You can't say the same for Toronto. It's tough. Justin, I was going to ask you to try to name a player, but I won't do that to you this time. We'll keep going.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm looking out for you.
You are in charge here. I appreciate you.
Yeah, that's fine. But I will ask you about the next series. You got Milwaukee Bucks, Boston Celtics. Series is tied 1-1. But as I look at this, my question is no longer, is Boston the best? Is Philly the best? Is Toronto the best? My question now is there anyone that can stop the Milwaukee Bucks?
And that's for me to answer.
That's for you to answer. Yeah, so I'm putting, you said before the show, I'm rare and ready to go. Here's your rare and ready to go question.
Well, here's my uninformed and ill-advised opinion. I'm going to go with yes, just based on the odds of what the teams I've seen in the actual NBA finals. I think they're a cute story, but just given what I've known of a very limited knowledge, again, can't stress that enough, they will not make it to the finals. So there has to be a team that will stop them because they haven't made it to the finals in the past 10 years, probably. That's probably a good claim.
Oh, God, I can't breathe. No, that was educated. That sounded good, Jay. And that's for me to answer. I like that. That was good.
I just blacked out.
Oh, God. Yeah, do you have that Will Ferrell moment from Old School where you just blacked out and gave the educated answer?
All my clothes are off, and I'm on the roof of my house, and I don't know how I got here.
That's awkward. Russ, Russ, you know, it's the same question, though, really. Like, Milwaukee just looks like the best team to have to try to beat coming out of the East right now.
Well, it helps when you have the best player in the East.
That does help.
And that's, kind of not to beat the same drum that I did in my last answer, but when you have demonstrably the best player in the series, you have the advantage in the series. Now, it's been kind of weird that the winner has won by more than 20 points in both games, and it's gone both ways, but you have the Greek Freak. And you have Middleton, who made 7 threes.
Yeah,
he's getting help, and that's all you can really ask for. When you have the best player and you're getting that help, you're going to end up winning in the long run.
No, I agree. Since Jay probably needs to go get dressed and get off the roof of his house, I'll stick with you. This one, I know I've talked to you about it just because of our feelings towards the said player. Has Portland kind of become the quiet team you're rooting for after taking down OKC and after Lillard just nailing that dagger of a shot to end the series?
Oh, hard yes.
Absolutely.
I am absolutely pulling for Portland to come out of this, and I really think they will. Denver, only team that had to go to 7 games. Only two series went more than 5 games in the first round. And Denver, obviously being the longest one of them. Meanwhile, Damian Lillard and C.J. McCollum just absolutely dismantled the Thunder. Yeah, the series is 1-1. Yeah, Jokic provides a unique matchup that a lot of people don't really know how to deal with how he can distribute the ball at his size. But, man, the way these guards are playing, I'm not counting them out. Plus, and to go back to how we started talking about the playoffs, it'd be nice to see Lillard get some more national attention and recognition for what he's doing.
Well, I'm with you. Right now, I mean, you look at these teams, and they're all very talented. But right now, and we're about to mention a team that is in this conversation, I would put that backcourt of McCollum and Lillard as the best backcourt in the playoffs right now. They are playing out of their minds, amazing basketball. The problem is, get past Denver. That's we want that. The problem is you're going to run into a real hard time after that because both the teams that we have left to talk about are stacked to the top, very talented teams, and you can't miss a shot if you want to beat these guys. So I'm with you that I'm definitely Portland, go, go, go. I would love to see it. Think it would be amazing. But unfortunately, we got one more series to talk about, and I think it's the series that's going to decide the West. Golden State Warriors, Houston Rockets. All I can say from this one, and I don't know if either of you guys saw it, I'm still curious if James Harden has his vision, because I don't know if either of you guys saw that afterwards, but this dude's eyes looked like he smoked a 10-pound bag of marijuana. Just totally bloodshot from a nice little interaction with Draymond Green. It is a full-on back-in-the-day series of we're going to beat the living crap out of you guys, and let's see who comes out on top. It's literally just amazing.
Literally. Can Draymond Green go like a single playoffs without hurting somebody?
Hey, here's a fun question. Is Draymond Green the Brad Marchand of the NBA in playoffs?
Oh, my God. Such a fat one.
I had to say that one. I really did.
Oh, well done. And yes. Good God. Yes, he is.
It's,
oh, my goodness.
But see, and that to me is what's amazing to see, because if anybody's watched the Golden State Warriors, they are not a physical basketball team. They want to beat you with finesse. They want to beat you with fundamentals. They don't really want to go inside the paint. They want to shoot a lot of three-pointers because, three-fifths of their team are amazing, amazing shooters. Then you got Draymond Green, who wants to beat the living crap out of everybody that goes near his basketball. He's like Happy Gilmore. That's my ball, baby. Don't you ever touch the ball. And he did that to James Harden in his face. Is it wrong that when he got the hit, I wanted to see some of the beard go away? Like it just gets shed off as he gets hit or something?
I don't think that's
You're
how
too
that
cruel.
Works.
That's too
not
cruel.
How, yeah, that's not how that works. This series is 2-0, though, Russ. With the physicality, with the fact that they have a 2-game lead, I mean, is there really any hope for Houston to come back and take this one, knowing that you got to get past two of the best players in the league, on top of also having Klay Thompson, who's an amazing 3-point shooter?
No, there's not. I mean, Houston's only real hope is if one of their appeals to the league to review the officials' calls comes back so much that they give them an entire game. And even then, you have to rein Chris Paul in because that dude's unhinged right now.
Yeah, he is. He is.
He's ejected from game one. He's taking swings at Draymond, trying to be subtle about it while he's hanging from the rim. He's going to do something real stupid to take himself out of the rest of this series. And, if he doesn't hurry up, that's going to happen really quick.
It's happening very quick. So. So I asked a question earlier. I'm going to ask it in a different way now. Justin, who do you like more, Draymond Green or Brad Marchand? I mean, one's a Spartan.
Oh my God. I will go with Draymond Green. I mean, he was a thrill to watch at Michigan State. I love the role that he plays in the NBA just as much as I love the role that Marchand plays as well. But Draymond hits close to home, so I'll go with Draymond.
Okay, very nice. all right, so we've got our NBA playoffs or NHL playoffs covered. We'll have to wait till next week to see if we're even right or wrong. Justin, I'm going to be really sorry when your Bruins aren't actually playing next week. But I'm not really that sorry. I'm just trying to be. I've been mean to him today. I got to be at least a little nice here and there.
No. Pick a hill and die on it, my friend. Keep it coming.
Oh, God. What the hell?
I think he just told you to die.
I don't think I wish that ill of you, but that's fine. I mean, you're God. What the hell is security?
No, if you're gonna start something, finish it, buddy. Die on that hill.
There we go.
I have conflicts with myself all the time. Like, if I can go back in time, I would stab high school version of me right in the fucking liver.
I think that's what he wants to do to me, though. That's the problem.
Oh, boy.
All right. By the way, I just love that we roll ahead of time, and we always just get great gems from Justin. Stuff that I can use over and over and over again, and it's a lot of fun. It really is. So we talked earlier about last week, how we had fun. We did the show together, everybody in the same room. It was a roller coaster of emotions. But unfortunately, now we have to recap that roller coaster of emotions. NFL draft last week, the Lions went in the one direction I don't think any of us really kind of wanted them to go. But, and I have to admit, I'm Mr. Hot Take here. I spent most of last week talking about how I was very, very, very disappointed in this pick. I didn't like it, saw no need for it. Guys, I have to admit, in 7 days, I have come around and changed my opinion entirely. I've just turned right around on this. I actually look at this as a nice move. Earlier today, Kerryon said, I'm back, I'm healthy. Well, now we got a guy that's pretty good at blocking to stay in front and help Kerryon not get destroyed again this year. First pick for the Lions was TJ Hockenson, tight end out of Iowa, for those that are under a rock and don't know. Russ, I had a lot of hot takes on it. As you've had a week to let it, you know, sink in and adjust that there's not going to be any changes. He's not going somewhere else. He's here. How are you feeling about TJ Hockenson?
Pretty much exactly the same. I don't like the pick, but I like the player. He's easily the top tight end that's in this draft. And he's maybe the best tight end prospect we've had in, well, years at least. But
yeah.
Since Gronk, maybe.
Mm-hmm. I can see it.
He doesn't have the injury concerns. He isn't the athlete that Gronk is, but, you know, who in the world is? I'm just terrified of this because all I heard on social media and at work and trying to go out to a restaurant or use the urinal out in public was, oh, they took another Ebron. Let's clear the deck here right now. He's not Ebron.
No.
Yes. There's only been two tight ends. Or four tight ends taken in the top 10 in the last, like, 15, 20 years. And the Lions have taken two of them. But Hockenson is a very different tight end than Ebron. And to jump in there, Ed Oliver is very different than Aaron Donald. They're not the same either. So let's not do that.
Yeah.
He can block. He can play the whole game. He doesn't have an issue with drops, which is something that we knew about Ebron coming into the draft. I understand people being upset, and I agree that you can't really get value for a tight end in the top 10 unless he's a Hall of Fame type player, or at least a perennial All-Pro. But if we're going to judge that, you judge the front office. Please, let's give Hockenson a chance to be at least not hated by the fan base, because, oh, is he off on the wrong foot for nothing he did wrong.
No, oh, absolutely, yeah. No, I'm mm-hmm. with you on that. The reaction was more for the pick, not the player. I'm with you on that.
Oh, right.
But when you look at it, 73 receptions, 1,080 receiving yards, averaging almost 15 yards a reception, 9 touchdowns. It means when you get him the ball, he doesn't do things that are stupid. He does good move, plays well, and he can block. That's something that needs to be said, because a lot of people, when we took Ebron, there was rumor of offensive talent. The thing that we never really got was the ability to block people. You're a tight end. You're not a wide receiver. Even wide receivers have to block. But with a tight end, you are expected to put your hand in the dirt, and you're going to have guys like J.J. Watt and Ndamukong Suh and even Aaron Donald coming at you, and you're expected to at least be able to hold them up for a minute so we can let the play develop. That never happened with Ebron. This appears to be someone who takes the blocking seriously and understands, listen, am I going to get a chance to catch the ball? Absolutely. But I'm not going to get that opportunity unless I make sure that our new guy, or our big guy, Kerryon, can get the yards we need him to get. Because otherwise, it's pointless. I might as well just stand up and pretend to be a wide receiver. So, we'll see what happens with it. I'm coming around to it. I will say that. But I'm going to use a comment that I don't like this guy at all, but I'm going to use a comment Max Kellerman made about Daniel Jones. I'm going to use it about TJ Hockenson. Kellerman, being a Giants fan, said when they drafted Daniel Jones, you better have drafted a Hall of Fame quarterback. I'm not saying they better have drafted a Hall of Fame tight end, but they sure as hell better have drafted a tight end that is going to multiple Pro Bowls. This guy needs to be the best at what he does in order for me to feel comfortable with this. In the last 20 years, we've had a very bad track record when it comes to tight ends. That needs to be changed. Over the years, we had a very bad track record with quarterbacks. We appear to have one that, if he's given an opportunity, can do some things. We had a hard curse of running backs. We're looking at Kerryon as the guy that could fix that. Now it's time for that tight end position that's become the recent curse to change. It's time to get better. This guy, if we're not playing in the playoffs, better be going to wherever they're holding the Pro Bowl now. It's not Hawaii, apparently. It's somewhere else. He better be going there every single year. It has to be at the top of the list when it comes to tight ends for me to feel comfortable that this is a successful pick.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, he needs to be a stud.
I don't.
Yeah. Jay?
Go ahead, Russ. No, go ahead, Russ. You're good.
Oh, no, that was all I was going to say. He needs to be a stud,
yeah.
Or this is going to sour.
Yeah, and I have to agree with both of you guys, because the biggest thing for me wasn't like, oh, my good God, we drafted a tight end. It was what happened before that led up between the Raiders and the Giants doing what they did. We could have had Ed Oliver, and that's a name we won't forget. And we try to disconnect ourselves, like Russ is advocating, from Eric Ebron, and it's fine. I'm guilty party. I'll shit on Eric Ebron every day of my life that I can.
Yeah, it's fine.
But for the sake and the benefit of TJ Hockenson, we have to give him an opportunity to fail. But Eric is right. We have to be able to say, yep, that's the face of our offense, or the face of our team, or Stafford's number one. Like Galladay's going to be great, but the position that he's put in, he has to succeed in it, and he can't fall short. Or we are going to be looking at the people that got drafted after him as the measuring stick of how we didn't shore up the eighth pick overall in the draft. So and the other thing I wanted to bring up too, which might lead into the next part of the conversation, is that I was trying to remove myself from the draft day and think about everything in totality.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the other names that we got prior to the draft, the Flowers, Jesse James, Coleman, I mean, Amendola, which I don't have high expectations for. But when you start throwing those names around next to your Hockenson, next to the second dude from Hawaii in the draft, and then I think we took a corner after that, it's just like we've got new faces in the room. I don't know how many of those guys are going to start immediately, but there is some sense of a cleanse and hope, or maybe that's just me being, you know, way too excited for the Lions next year. But I actually have hope for this team, even though we took a tight end first overall, is what I'm trying to get to.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I am. And to be the face of the franchise, I'm with you on to some extent on that one. But to me, our offensive coordinator's new. He's going to be bringing his kind of offense, and we don't necessarily know that offense is going to be chuck it deep. He's a guy that's coming from a system where you had Russell Wilson. Not to take anything away from Russell Wilson's arm. He's got a heck of an arm. He's a good quarterback. But Russell Wilson is a rollout, you know, kind of make those linebackers to commit to coming to you kind of guy. It's not, they don't throw Hail Marys on every play. A tight end makes that very easy, because that tight end can fake the block. You got a tight end screen on almost any play that's passing. And you want a guy that, one, you can believe is really going to block, but two, that when the ball's thrown to him, he's not going to, you know, bounce it off his hands and we're going to have it intercepted every time. So that makes sense. You did kind of transition, because obviously it would take forever to go through all seven of these picks. They're so different. But, and by the way, Jay, the names you were looking for was Jelani Tavai out of Hawaii as the linebacker. And then, yes, we did take a corner, Will Harris out of Boston College. So we talked about Hockenson. To kind of sum it up, Jay, when you look at the rest of these picks, and I have it printed out, so if you need the names, I can give you the names. Is there a pick you're going to kind of lean on and say, you know what, I'd be interested to see how this guy is for us next year, excluding Hockenson?
Excluding Hockenson, because I think he's obviously the centerpiece of it.
Well, yeah, any first-round pick, you're automatically have the eye on. If he's not on the field, barring a quarterback, if he's not on the field week one, you got to start wondering, did we totally balk on this? Second, third, fourth round, like, no one expected Kerryon to be the starting running back last year. He worked his way into becoming that guy, and we see an immense talent there. There's a reason Galladay wasn't the superstar wide receiver week one, because he wasn't expected to be that. So when you go from second on, I mean, you got a defensive end out of Clemson. This Jelani Tavai is supposed to be one heck of a linebacker. I mean, in my notes, I printed out, it even says he's expected to push Jared Davis for playing time. So that means he's got to be pretty good if our starting linebacker's already getting pushed by a second-round player.
I mean, I would look to the second and third round picks, you know, passing up on, I don't know. I mean, the interior linebacker position, what we thought Jared Davis was going to be, is obviously a glaring need that shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
And then putting someone opposite the Slay with our third pick. If I had to pick between the two of them, I think we need to be more solidified within the linebacker position. So,
okay.
I know nothing about this dude from Hawaii other than that he might be Hawaiian, but he just played for the university.
It's a very good chance he's Hawaiian, yeah. Very good chance.
I would go with that because that was something we were supposed to have shored up a couple years ago, and it's not currently.
Okay. I have his stats here. The only thing that's concerning is in 15, 16, and 17, he played 12 or more games. So he played full seasons. This past year, he only played 8 games. But in 4 years in college, 220 solo tackles, 170 assisted, 390 total tackles, 16.5 sacks. He had 41 for loss. So, I mean, when the guy gets his hands on you, you're more than likely going down, and you're going down quite frequently. So I like him for that regard. I will say that. It's an interesting one to see. Russ, what about for you?
So I'm going to go a little deeper in the draft for a guy that he fell to that spot, you know, compared to what the media was projecting.
I'm really horrified where you're going right now.
A certain fifth-round pick. Am I taking your pick again?
Who is it?
Amani Oruwariye.
Oh, okay, we're good. We're okay. We're all right.
Okay.
You do you.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Corner out of Penn State. Yeah. Not a great tackler, but he's got good size. He's got plus athletic traits. This is probably goodbye Tease Tabor taking this guy, but he's a little raw, but he's got all of the skills there, which makes him a fantastic fifth-round pick. And the Lions are hurting for a number two corner, you know, an outside guy, because looks like Coleman's got the slot and the lockdown. We know Slay's got one side. This might be a guy, maybe not this year, maybe starting next year, he can go grab that starting spot. And to get that for a fifth, that's phenomenal. So I'm really going to be watching him to see where he ends up in the depth chart, especially early on.
Okay. And I will agree with you. This does seem like a bye-bye tease because you just do simple math. Like you said, Slay's not coming off the field. Slay's got a spot. We just signed Justin Coleman. That's a spot locked up. We took Will Harris, a guy who is expected to potentially be on the other side of that field early on. You take Omani out of Penn State. Simple math adds up that we're not going to hold on to Tease Tabor to be a fifth or sixth corner for our team. Unless he somehow can miraculously prove that he's a really good safety too, which I find very unlikely. The math adds up that this is a guy that more than likely is trade talk now, if we can even get anything for him in a trade. So,
right, yeah, you don't keep a $1.3 million player as a sixth corner.
You just 100%. Don't. And he's not a practice team guy. It's not, it's just not worth it. So I agree. That is one to definitely watch. I thought you were going to steal this from me. You didn't. I lucked out. I'm going to go one pick before you. I'm going to go with Austin Bryant, defensive end out of Clemson, for two reasons. One, Clemson had a lot of really good defensive linemen taken, so to be able to get this guy is something. But two, we have one hell of a defensive front now. Flowers, Snacks. We have so many pieces that for this guy to even get on the field is not a stretch, but it's less likely for him to get a lot. So if we see this guy early on the field consistently, it means that he is one heck of a football player to be sitting Flowers down, to be sitting any of these people that have earned spots to be starters. So my eye is on Austin Bryant because if this guy can go out there and play well with the people around him, oh boy, this could be fun to watch because you already know Snacks is going to take up two guys no problem. Depending on where they line up Trey Flowers, he's going to take up one or two guys. Jared Davis, if they give him the ability to start coming off the edge, someone's got to keep an eye on him. Simple math dictates that unless you put like 9 linemen on the field and one wide receiver, somebody is going to get an open lane to the running back or the quarterback. Hopefully this can be that guy. We'll see what happens.
Let me ask you a question about him. He was announced, the pick was, as a linebacker. Are you reading anything into that?
I mean, 6'4", 271. I mean, he's a big boy. They may see him as someone like, you know, Flowers, who can take his hand out of the dirt if you need him to. Not to say he can't, but I wouldn't read anything into it. I think he's listed here as a D-end. I think he plays D-end. Now, obviously, in practice, we know Patricia likes his option guys. Okora. He likes, you know, these guys that, hey, you can play multiple positions for me. That gives me new schemes. So, yes, I think you will see this guy line up as a linebacker. It's also going to depend on fitness. I don't know a lot of 271-pound linebackers that don't just come off the edge every time. I don't see this guy dropping back and trying to cover Travis Kelce or trying to cover a running back out of the backfield. So to that extent, but yes, I think you will see him potentially practice and maybe play at linebacker in certain situations. But to me, I've seen him play, and that's the other reason why he caught my eye. He's someone that I've actually seen play more than one time. And he to me is more of a put the hand in the dirt end guy, keep contained, let the other guys do their thing. So, and that's what we need him to do. Like I said, when you got Snacks, you got Trey Flowers, you got Romeo Okwara, you've got all these guys, we need someone that's going to be able to hold contained, keep someone occupied so these superstar guys can break free and do what we're paying them all the money to do. That's my opinion.
See that, and that's the hope that I'm harnessing onto for the year, is that those are all new names. We were not talking about any of these dudes 2 years ago. And I understand that every team gets new players, so it's not like this, it's not, you know, reinventing the wheel. But it's the fact that we have been suppressed to what we expect to happen with the Lions and with the new GM, new coach, new players. There's something that has to click at some point in time.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I agree. That's going to wrap up our little draft coverage. I mean, overall, I guess real quick, Jay, overall, if you had to give a letter grade out, where are you putting the Lions here? Are they going to graduate?
I mean, it's not what I wanted to do, but if we're going to start running the ball and protecting the runner and trying to be better on defense, C-plus, C-minus range, I mean, there are some of their total parts, and nothing is outlandishly crazy outside of Hackenson, but C-plus, final grade.
C-plus? Russ, what about you?
No, I really like the C-plus grade. It's there's some questionable things, and they kind of push their chips all into the table with the first two picks that, hey, the ball is squarely in Patricia's court, that you had a chance to add two top-end defensive pieces, and, well, you took a tight end and what appears to maybe be a reach and a linebacker. They've both got a hit, and he's got to return this defense to being a top-10 team that they looked like at the end of last year.
Okay.
I don't know how much the draft helped that. It looked like there were some holes. I like some of the later picks, so slightly above average sounds about right.
Yeah. Okay. I'm right with you guys. C-plus. I like it. I like it for the fact that you started out identifying the offense. We didn't go out and take some like DK Metcalf, so we're clearly not going with speed kind of thing. You went and addressed an offensive need of a tight end that can basically essentially be, you know, a sixth lineman if we need him to, but he can also catch the ball. Then, like you said, Russ, you reached a little bit on a linebacker. But see where you get your grade back up, because just those two alone, you're probably, you know, going dangerously close to a D with that second pick. But then you go out, you get two corners in three picks and a defensive end. You address the defense, you address what we're assuming is Patricia's bread and butter. So that gets you back up. C-plus, overall, I mean, are there a couple guys in here that I have never heard of until I read their name? Oh, absolutely. But there's also some guys that I know who you are, I've seen you play, and it's justifiable that you on this team is something that's beneficial for us. I actually, just earlier today, the corner, when you picked Russ, the Amani guy, I saw a pick for him, and this guy is a ball hawk. He actually knows how to get to that ball and be aggressive. I like it. We'll see what happens. I mean, you took two corners. Simple math would hope that one of them is going to work out for us. Hopefully both, obviously. But, you know, in past history with Tease Tabor being drafted, you're a little skeptical of corners until you actually see them do what they got to do. So I'll go C-plus. I could agree with that. I think any higher than that, you're being a little too kind to a draft that overall has mixed reviews for me.
Right.
So, all right, we got a few minutes here. Real quick, we always give ourselves that little extra topic. I teased it earlier. I'll let you go first, Jay. Because you haven't been salty enough for me today, and I need some salt here. When you talk about it, and you, like I mentioned, Marshan coming here, when you think about it, is there a player or a team, like, that no matter what the circumstance is, your opinion will never change? Say you and Natasha decide to go for, you know, little lad number three and get a boy. Is there a team that if your son was ever drafted to, even at his press conference, even at his announcement press conference, you'd still be wearing a Detroit shirt just despite that team or player?
You're really making the hypothetical gun to my head real.
Well, but I mean, it helps to put the circumstance to it. If this player came here, would your opinion still never change? If your child got drafted to that team?
I get it. The one thing that I think, I'll put it this way, I'm going to follow the rules here. The one thing that I know to be true in my opinion of a team is that the Edmonton Oilers will not win a Stanley Cup as long as I'm alive. That won't change. And I guarantee you they're going to have to trade McDavid. And you had Gretzky. They went through that era. They traded him off. McDavid's making Draisaitl look like a player he's never been and probably still will be a decent player going forward. But after all the first-round picks, my opinion of the Edmonton Oilers is that in my lifetime they will not win a Stanley Cup. And they'll probably end up having to trade McDavid, and nothing will change in that realm for Edmonton. They're just going to be the low-hanging fruit of the Canadian hockey teams.
Okay. I'll give you a chance to stew, because I feel like there has to be a player in some sport that your opinion of will never change. So I'll give you a second to stew on that and have some fun.
Okay.
Russ, is there a player or a team that no matter what, your opinion of will never change?
Oh, I've got one of each.
Okay.
I'll start with fair. The team. And if I'm lucky enough to have a kid and then lucky enough that kid gets drafted – and say they get drafted to the New Jersey Devils, and they're like, Dad, I need you to support me. Even if they break out the I Love You 3000 because they've watched a movie and they're trying to pull on my heartstrings, I'm still wearing a Red Wings hat to that because my very first hockey memory is the Wings getting swept by the Devils in 95, and I have not forgiven them since, and I will not forgive them ever.
That's fair.
They played a boring, incredibly effective, but brutal to watch, hurtful way of playing the game with that trap. And, God, it's impressive, but it made me mad. And as long as I love hockey, I'm going to have that memory. And screw you, Devils.
Okay, that's fair. I like it. You got a player?
My player is going to be Steve Yzerman because he's going to be my sweet boy forever and ever, even if he doesn't work in the front office. And that's going to be my pledge to myself that I'm going to remember the great things he did, even if this doesn't work out. It's not going to be like Dumars. It's not going to be like Trammell. You're going to always remember that was Steve Yzerman who ended the Dead Wings and brought us into the light.
Okay. I like it. That's a little twist on it. You always expect someone to go with a negative opinion of someone, so that's good. Nice little positive opinion. That's always a good thing. I actually have a player. The player's not going to be a surprise to anyone, but I have a player and a team as well. I will lead off with the player first. This one shouldn't be a surprise because if you've listened to this show, you know my opinion of this guy, and that's Sidney Crosby. No matter what, like same with Marchand, though. If he ever put on a winged whale jersey, I wouldn't be able to root for him. I think very little of this guy. I think he has an immense amount of hockey talent. There's nothing against that. He's a crybaby. He can only initiate a fight when he knows that there's someone there to protect him in case the guy actually can get to him. He needs a ref to be in between the two of them, and then he can get as tough as he wants. But he's a crybaby. He's an ass overall. And I know for a fact that if he ever came here and they started manufacturing 87 Red Wing jerseys, that's a jersey that I would buy. I would. And then I would light it on fire right in front of him just to let him know how I really feel about him. I can't say enough about the talent. Anyone that denies he's not talented is delusional. But it's the other things. Talent is only so much. You're a distraction. You are a health hazard. Or early in his career, he was. And he's a prick. He's out there instigating and acting like an ass, and he can't back it up. If any of these guys ever got to him, they would pummel him into the ground. And that's why he's so tough when he knows that he's got no chance of getting hit. You can be tough as all you want. It's when you have to go face to face with that person. So, yeah, I'm not a Sidney Crosby fan. This other one.
Tell us how you really feel.
Yeah.
I'm going to feel really good when you're wearing a teal shirt, that's for sure. The team, again, the team shouldn't be a surprise either, at least for one of you. The team is Ohio State. Ohio State, my opinion of, will never change no matter what. And sticking with the scenario I put out for both of you, if I have a son, if I'm lucky enough in my life to have a son, and that son is lucky enough to play a sport that he is capable of playing at the collegiate level at such a high level, I would be, I remember this clearly, a few years ago, there was a corner who had four hats in front of the table. He had LSU, Clemson, Alabama, and then I want to say Notre Dame. Those were the four hats that he had. And he made a selection. He put the hat on his head. He picked Alabama. His mom got up and walked away from the table because she did not approve of the decision he made. She thought that he should have gone somewhere where he could also have gotten a good education, because apparently I guess Alabama doesn't give out educations, but she was not happy with the opinion. And I can 100% say that if my son or daughter even ever has four hats sitting on a table and one of them is Ohio State, and that son or daughter picks up that hat and puts it on the head, I am going to stand up. I will clap because you went on to the higher level. Then I will rip open the shirt that has a giant U of M logo on it and wave at the ESPN cameras or the cameras that are there, because you know what? That's how I feel. It's a rivalry. There's hatred there. We've mentioned it before. There's a reason that these guys don't like each other. There's a reason that Woody Hayes wouldn't get gas in Michigan, because he didn't like Michigan. We don't like Ohio State. You're the toilet to the mitten, in my opinion. Sorry to anyone who lives in Ohio. I know Russ has, you know, a girlfriend who has family down there. I do apologize, but...
Yeah, they only work for the university.
Oh,
no,
well,
big deal.
Yeah, then you know what? Forget that. But that's me. I will never... And I must be a hateful person, because I had about six teams I could have mentioned here, but... Yeah, but... Ohio State is at the top of it. I mean, you can go with the old grudges. Colorado, Chicago, Toronto. Yeah, I don't like you guys. You're rivals to us. We don't like you. You don't like us. That's fine. It's the same as, can any of us really say we're very big fans of the Green Bay Packers? They whooped us for 20-something years. So, yeah. Sidney Crosby. Yes, Favre. But see, that's the weird thing. I like Brett Favre. I don't mind Brett Favre. I just don't like the Green Bay Packers.
Him and his Wrangler jeans can stay retired.
Yeah, but yeah, for me, it's Sidney Crosby, and it's Ohio State. I do not. I can remember in high school losing a bet to Matt Gunzorek. He on the football team with me. Matt is a Ohio State fan. I'm a U of M fan. We bet on the game. Loser had to wear Ohio State or Michigan gear to school the next day. I had to wear head to toe Ohio State gear to school on Monday to show that I lost that bet. One of the most annoying days of my life.
Oh, so you're saying this is a trend in your life, because you're about to wear a Marchand shirt.
Well played. I'm so... Oh, God. That was...
That
you know what?
A poorly timed anecdote.
All right, Jay, I gave you time to stew real quick. Do you have a player?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I've got two real quick.
Okay.
Ilya Bryzgalov will always go down as one of the funniest NHL players ever for me. Him in the Road to the Winter Classic talking about stars and the galaxy and how humongously big it is.
Yeah.
Was just like in a league that's so dry, it was just beautiful. But also staying in between the pipes, Ron Hextall will always go down as one of the biggest badasses in the NHL for me. Being in the position that he played and the amount of fights and penalty minutes that he drew up back in the day, where goalies can get away with a little bit more now than these days. Those two goalies will always have a spot in my heart between Ilya Bryzgalov, which if I have a son, his name will be Ilya, and Ron Hextall.
So Jay's like got a love hatred for goalies. You don't know which way he's going to go, but it's going to be a goalie. It's going to will your child, if you do have a son named Ilya, will he play goalie?
I would only hope not, because he's going to be kind of small. He's going to have some big uphill battle to deal with.
Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic. Fair. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. All right. Well, as you can see, we got a lot of people that our opinions will never change of. Love that Russ putting Stevie in there, keeping the positive, because the rest of it's hatred. But always a good one. Russ, as always, I keep saying it, going to say it till the end of time. Thanks for making us sound smarter than we really are.
Oh, I'll keep trying to do it. And rest in peace, Red Kelly.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Justin Marcus, all jokes aside, you're going to look really good in a teal shirt.
Hey, yeah. When you have
something I'm cooking up in my mind right now, it's going to look good on you too. So go brew. Oh,
dear God, you're not allowed to cook things up in your mind. I've been in there. There's not enough Purell to clean whatever you're about to produce.
You're not my supervisor.
All right,
I hope it's a rat humping the Columbus Blue Jackets can. That'd be great.
All jokes aside, Jay, thanks for being on today, buddy. We really appreciate it.
Hey, I love rapping with you guys. It was a good time as always.
All right. As always, I'm your host, Derek Dorsch. One small step for us, one giant leap back in Detroit sports broadcasting.
What you've just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. May God have mercy on your soul.